We welcome you to the Tabernacle Podcast, brought to you by the Tabernacle Baptist Church in Hickory, North Carolina. If you'd like to learn more about Tabernacle, you can visit our website, tabernaclebaptistchurch.com. You can find other sermons like this one on Apple Podcast, YouTube, and Sermon Audio. It is our prayer that God has used this message to be an encouragement to your heart.
I'd like for you to go with me into God's Word to the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth, and we'll come to the second chapter. Ruth chapter number 2. If you are keeping up with your Bible reading, the plan that we gave you at the beginning of the year, then just in a few days, you'll be reading the book of Ruth. And I hope that this evening, the time that we have in Ruth chapter 2 will help you to see Ruth from a new perspective and understand what this book is all about. It's a book about God's grace. God's grace. Someone said grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. And those riches are imparted to us through grace. Grace is unmerited favor. It's favor that God grants us, not because we deserve it, but because He is a gracious God. And we have in this a short story, these four chapters that take place during the period of the time of the judges, which was a dreadful time in the history of the nation of Israel. Many call it the dark ages of the history of the nation of Israel, because there was no king in Israel. Every man, the Bible says, twice in that book of Judges, did that which was right in their own eyes. And you would say, well, we're there today, aren't we, in our nation and in our world? We've forsaken the law of God, and we're told that whatever you want to do, whatever you think, whatever your truth is, then that you just go ahead and live your truth. Well, that's a lie, isn't it? From the devil, from Satan. And when you reject the truth, then you live in anarchy, and we're living in anarchy here in our nation which is under the judgment of God. And Ruth is living in that period. And Ruth is a Moabitish woman, meaning that she is of the country of Moab. And she really has no inheritance and no promise and no place in the nation of Israel. And in chapter number 1, we read that Ruth had met Naomi and her husband Elimelech, and their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. And there were two Moabite girls that those boys married. One was Ruth, the other was Orpah. We know that Naomi's husband Elimelech died in Moab. And then later, Mahlon and Chilion died. So Naomi lost her husband and her two sons, and Ruth lost her husband. Then Ruth heard that the famine had ended in Bethlehem, Judah, that there was bread in Bethlehem, Judah, and so she determined to go back to Bethlehem, Judah. Along the way, her daughters-in-law, Moabite girls, said, "We're going to go with you." And Ruth, thinking about the need in the lives of those girls to find rest. You'll find that word used in the book of Ruth several times. Knowing that those girls needed rest, meaning that they needed a place of security and protection and provision. And that would only be found in the relationship that they would have with a husband who would provide for them. Knowing that they were returning as Moabite girls into the nation of Israel, thinking that they would not be received, knowing that there were no more sons that she could produce or had produced that could marry those girls. Acknowledging that she had went out full and she was returning empty, she said to those girls, "There's really nothing I can do for you. The best thing for you to do is go back home." And the Bible tells us that Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, meaning she went back to Moab. But Ruth clave, the Bible says. She clave unto her mother-in-law, Naomi. And I want you to read her confession. We'll look back in chapter 1 and verse 16, then we'll come to chapter 2. These are the words of Ruth. And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die. There will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." Verse 18, "When she," that is Naomi, "saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her." So here you have Ruth's profession, if you would, her profession of faith. "Your God will be my God." In those 10 years that Naomi had lived in the land of Moab and known those two girls, no doubt they had come to know the God of the Bible. We know that because in just a moment we're going to see that Ruth, day one, wakes up and goes to the fields to glean. She went there in faith because she knew that God had provided in the law, God had provided an opportunity for those who were poor to go and glean in the field so that they could eat. She would not have done so had she not known the Word of God. Had God, our God, not been her God, and had not the people of Israel been the people that she chose to identify with. So we often talk about Ruth and we call her Resolute Ruth. She resolved to follow Jesus. As we come to chapter number 2, I want us to think about this theme. And this will be the title of the message this evening: Gleaning in the Fields of Grace. Gleaning in the fields of grace. The Bible tells us that by grace we are saved through faith. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. There is nothing that you and I can do to obtain favor with God. God just simply grants us favor. We are saved by grace, and we live in the realm of God's grace. And Ruth is going to provide for us a picture of what it means to glean in the fields of grace. Now we'll begin reading in verse number 1. "And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said unto Naomi, Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, Go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, The Lord be with you. And they answered him, The Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, Whose damsel is this?" Who is this lady? Who does she belong to? Who does she identify with? "And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, It is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab." Now remember, Naomi had been gone for 10 years, and she returned one day. So everybody took note. And she said, verse 7, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaids. Would you pray with me? Our Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray that you would instruct us through it. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would guide us and be our teacher. Enable me to communicate your truth, O Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Here we have this young Moabite girl, and we find her in the most unusual place, in a field of Bethlehem, Judah, gleaning in the fields of grace. And it provides for us a picture of who we are, or who we were, as strangers and aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. We were separated from God in our sin, but God in his grace has given us favor, and he has received us into his field of grace. And there we enjoy the blessings of God's grace. Now, I want you to note some things that we find in this chapter, and I hope you'll write them down. First of all, we're introduced to a gracious Redeemer. A gracious Redeemer. What can we say about Boaz? We can say he is a kind man. He's a kind man. And what can we say about our God? He is a God of love. He is a gracious God. Our Lord Jesus was full of grace and truth. Yes, he spoke the truth, but he spoke the truth in grace. And so here we find a gracious Redeemer, and Boaz is the Redeemer. Now, when Ruth comes to the field, she does not know that Boaz is a kinsman. She has just gotten up that morning, and she says to her mother-in-law, I'm going to go into the fields, and I'm going to glean. She is an industrious young woman. She's not laying in the bed looking at her mother-in-law saying, what's for breakfast? She has embraced her responsibility to help take care of her aging mother-in-law and to use the ability that God has given her to go into the fields and gather. She's not sure what she's going to find or what she's going to encounter or what she's going to gather. But nevertheless, she's going, and she's going on the promise of God. And she happens to go, the Bible says, into the fields of Boaz. Now, let me just say this to you. When you follow God by faith, he will lead you where you need to go. There's no hap, as in other words, there's no chance in this. When you are following God and being obedient to God, God will lead you. You can trust him. And she is following God, and God is leading her. And he leads her to the field of Boaz. Now, what do we know about Boaz? The Bible says in verse number 1, and Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's. That's important. He's a kinsman. Now, Naomi's husband and sons have died. Their name could be extinguished from the tribe of Judah. Their inheritance could be lost. And Naomi, who said, "I went out full, I've come back empty," really had no hope, no hope of a redeemer. And now she's brought this Moabite girl. Now remember this, the Moabites could not go into the house of God or the congregation of the Lord because they were cursed with a curse. And so to accept her, to give her favor, was unheard of. But yet that's exactly what happened. And she went to the field of Naomi's kinsman. He was a near kinsman. And by the way, Boaz then becomes a picture of our Savior. He's our kinsman. Jesus, the Son of God, who became a man without ceasing to be God, so he could bridge the gap between God and man. He became our kinsman. He became related to us when he took the body of flesh and walked among us and was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And we have a high priest, the Lord Jesus, who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He's a kinsman. He is the one who could lay his hand on the hands of man and lay his other hand in the hand of God, the Father, and bring man and God together. He's the near kinsman. We notice something else about him. He is a mighty man of wealth. He had the ability to pay the price of redemption. Do you know that only Jesus has the ability to pay redemption's price? His blood is the only blood that was the sufficient sacrifice for our sin. He is a mighty man of wealth. His wealth covers our debt, our indebtedness. The wages of sin is death. Forgive us, we say to our Father in heaven, our debts, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Sin brings debt. We're indebted. There's only one person who can pay our debt. It's a mighty man of wealth. His name is Jesus. He's a gracious redeemer, isn't he? He's our kinsman. He's the mighty man of wealth. There's something else I want you to know about Boaz, is that he was willing to live for those who were dead. Boaz was willing to live for those who were dead. Now, I want you to go with me to chapter 4. Will you turn there? Chapter number 4. You don't have to turn that far, do you? Boaz now has gone up to the gate to redeem or to see if the other kinsman who was nearer, a nearer kinsman, and he had the first priority to see if he would be the redeemer or if Boaz would be the redeemer. Now, Boaz in his heart, he longed to be the redeemer. This near kinsman, well, he didn't. This near kinsman had the ability to pay and said, "I will pay," because he wanted the land. But in chapter 4 and verse 5, then said Boaz, he's speaking now to that nearer kinsman, "What day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance." And the kinsman said, "I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar my own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it." You see, Boaz was willing to live his life on behalf of dead men. He was willing to live for Elimelech and for Mahlon and Chilion, knowing that whatever child he had by Ruth, that child would actually be the child legally in the eyes of God's law, the children of Elimelech. And here's what I want you to see, is that Jesus is the good shepherd. And Jesus laid down his life for his sheep. And who were his sheep? We were all dead men. We were all dead men with no life. She that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. The wages of sin is death. We were dead men. And Jesus, the living Son of God, gave his life so that dead men could live again. We had no possession, but Jesus gave his life to secure for us an inheritance and to raise up for us a name that was gone, abolished, and done away with. And God gave us a name and wrote it down in the Lamb's Book of Life. We have a wonderful name because we have a gracious Redeemer. Well, that's something to get excited about, even if your throat's full of pollen, right? A gracious Redeemer. And Ruth the Moabitess, verse 2 of chapter 2, said unto Naomi, let me now go on the field. She didn't know any of this. But she had a Redeemer. By the way, there was a time you and I didn't know any of this, but we had a Redeemer. God is always previous. He's always working on our behalf. Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter, go in faith. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers and her hap. Now we've realized, right? We've realized that this wasn't on accident. This wasn't just something that happened. We realize that God, who was working, the great gracious Redeemer, was drawing her to himself, leading her by faith to the field of grace. And so her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, notice this greeting, the Lord be with you. And they answered, the Lord bless thee. He was a gracious Redeemer. Then I want you to see secondly here, not only a gracious Redeemer, but we see a gracious recognition. A gracious recognition. It's something when people recognize you. When you're recognized, when you didn't think you were known, and yet you're recognized. Here is Boaz, this mighty man of wealth, influential man. And he takes note of this Moabitish girl. No doubt the other reapers in the field didn't acknowledge her, other than the fact that she was there taking what could have been theirs. Maybe she was competition. As I said, because she's a Moabitish girl, she's perceived as a young woman who has a curse on her. But here, the mighty man of wealth, the kinsman redeemer, he takes note of her. He sees her. You remember the woman who had the issue of blood? And she said, if I could just somehow manage to work my way through the crowd and put my hand on the hem of his garment, I know that would heal me. I don't have to interrupt him. I don't have to have a conversation with him. He doesn't have to stop and acknowledge me. But I just know if I can get there, he will heal me. And when she did, the Bible said he stopped and said, who touched me? She wasn't expecting that. You see, he recognized her. He recognized her. Here's what I want you to know. God recognized you. Do you know the Bible says he has known you from the foundation of the world? He has known you and he has loved you. Now, some of us aren't very lovely, are we? I mean, we're hard to love. And if you knew me the way I know me, you might not think as well of me as you might happen to think. God knows me inside and out, and he knows you inside and out. And yet he loves us, and he recognizes us. Now look in verse 5. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? I mean, he took note of her. We know that because as he comes in, he's acknowledging the servants. The Lord be with you. And they answered, the Lord bless thee. But he sees somebody else in the field he hasn't seen before. And so he asked the servant, who is this? Verse 6, and the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And he said, I pray you, and she said rather, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now that she tarried a little in the house. Notice verse 8, then said Boaz unto Ruth. That, no doubt, was astounding to her. He went out to the field and he said, hey there, how you doing? Are you Ruth? Are you talking to me? Yes, I'm talking to you. You're Boaz. I know it. It's nice to meet you. I'm Boaz. And you're Ruth, the daughter-in-law of Naomi. We're so glad you're here. It was a gracious recognition. And then notice what he says to her. Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. You see what happened? Boaz gave her a place. Aren't you glad to know that God has given us a place? He's given us a place at his table. David said, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. God has given you and I, those of us who are estranged from the promises of God, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, those of us who are lost in our sin and cursed with a curse, Jesus, our gracious Redeemer, has given us a place at the table. What a gracious recognition. Go not to glean in another field. There's no reason for you to go anywhere else. You found the field you need to be in. But abide here fast by my maidens. He gave her a place. And then he secured her protection. Verse 9, let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go after them. Go glean. Go reap. Have not I charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? Nobody's going to stop you. Nobody's going to keep you from doing what you need to do. You have access. You have a place and you have protection. And then he also offered her provision. That's what grace does. It gives me a place. It gives me protection and it gives me provision. And when thou art athirst, go into the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Stop by the water cooler and get you something to drink. Our God is a God of grace. He's a loving and benevolent God. Notice in verse 10, then, having been recognized, this Moabite girl who had really no hope, no inheritance, she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? Can I tell you, no matter what happens to you this week, you can rejoice and be thankful that the God of this universe has taken knowledge of you. And please don't ever get over it, that he loves you and he's taken knowledge of you. Think about the multitudes of people on this planet. Many who don't know God. You are in the same condition they were in. But God has been gracious to you. You had no inheritance. You had no provision, no protection, no place. But God took knowledge of you. And he sent his son to redeem you. And he paid the price. and secured your place in heaven. Don't ever get over that. Don't ever get over that. It's the grace of God. Ruth was overwhelmed with gratitude as she gleaned in the fields of grace. She met a gracious Redeemer. She received a gracious recognition. And then thirdly, she was offered a gracious reward. A gracious reward. In verse number 11, Boaz said unto her, "It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, how that thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." Then she said, "Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for thou hast comforted me, and for thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thy handmaidens." She knew that she didn't belong. She knew that she didn't have a place there. She didn't deserve it. But nevertheless, it had been granted to her, and she acknowledged that. And Boaz said unto her at mealtime, "Come thou hither and eat of the bread and dip thy morsel in the vinegar." And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat and was sufficed. While she was reaping, he was giving her lunch, taking care of her, meeting the needs that she had. And when she got up from the meal to go back to the field to glean, verse 15, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not." Now the outskirts of the field and the corners of the field, they were left unharvested for those who would come and glean. But now Boaz is giving Ruth unprecedented access. Let her go into the field as far and deep as she wants. Let her have as much as she can take. I'm giving her full access. And by the way, God has given us full access into his presence. Full access. Now imagine having full access into his presence and refusing to go in. But that's what happens to us, doesn't it? Having full access to the provisions of God, yet choosing to live on the meager fares of this world. Oh, friend, the Bible tells us that we are blessed with all spiritual blessings. We are seated together with Christ in heavenly places. We have full access. Full access. That's a gracious reward, isn't it? Notice verse 16. "And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not." In other words, take a bucket full or a handful out of the bucket, or a handful out of the basket, or a shovel full out of the wagon, and leave it on the ground, and let her pick it up. I want you to know that God has given us bread. It's all around us. All we got to do, all we got to do is get in the field and take it. So let's go to the field. And we will receive a gracious reward. The thing you wish you had help with, I'm losing cards everywhere. The thing you wish you had help with, the thing that you think you need the answer for and you just can't find, it's in the Bible if you'll bother to go there. God has left it for you. I'm not going after that one. And one day you'll discover it. Handfuls of purpose. "That she may glean them and rebuke her not." Verse 17, so she gleaned in the field until even. She didn't go home at 4 o'clock. She wasn't watching the clock. She wasn't thinking, well, I've been out here long enough. No, man. She was gleaning, and she said, hey, look, here's another pile. And here's another pile. And they're not stopping me. I'm going on in, and I just keep gleaning. And they're not stopping me. I have full access. I'm discovering something I didn't realize here. And she just kept gleaning. In fact, gleaning turned into gathering. And let me say this. When you enter into the field of God's grace, gleaning turns into gathering. God has more for you than you can handle. And you can have as much of him as you want. Oh, this girl was hungry. This girl was hungry. You see, she didn't grow up in a Bible-believing church. She didn't attend a Christian school. She never heard of such a thing. She didn't have a contemptible attitude toward her parents and the things of God. No. She longed for that. She didn't have the privilege that some had. She had a hunger in her heart for God and the things of God. And Jesus said, if you hunger, if you thirst, come unto me and I'll fill you up. Are you hungry for God? You know, be honest with you, most of us aren't as hungry as we ought to be, are we? Because we feasted at the table of this world. We've been laboring for the meat that perishes. Jesus said, labor for the meat that endures unto everlasting life. Well, Ruth said, I love this. I love this. I love the Bible. I love the church. I love singing in the choir. I love serving the Lord. I'll even work in the nursery. I love it. I'm not sick of it. I'm not tired of it. I absolutely love it. I cannot get enough of it. I'm going to stay until the even. They're going to have to kick me out of this field at sundown. I'm going to stay here all day with my Redeemer. The Bible says, and they beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. It's a whole lot of barley, okay? It's more than any gleaner would have ever gathered. Verse 18, and she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. You see, God has more than enough to satisfy you. And what do you do with the rest? You give it to other people. Listen, this church will not be effective based on the ability of the preacher to communicate to the city of Hickory. It's the preacher's job to communicate to the people. It's the people's job to carry the message to the city. So glean. Get you some handfuls of purpose. And go out to the masses. Go out to the multitudes. And they're going to take note. The Bible said when her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, she couldn't believe it. Paul said to Timothy, he said, let thy profiting appear before all. I've been thinking about that a lot. Thy profiting, let it appear before all. In other words, as you spend time, Timothy, in the Word of God, and as God's Word transforms your life, as you feed God's people and minister to them, your profiting will appear before all. You see, as you spend time with Jesus, people are going to take note of you like they did the disciples, that they had been with Jesus. Oh, let's spend time in the fields of grace. Well, then fourthly, we find here a gracious response. A gracious response. Look, you have access into the field of God's grace. You have a gracious Redeemer. He has given you a gracious recognition and a gracious reward. It's full, and you're favored. What will you do with it? Well, that was what Ruth had to determine, wasn't it? And Naomi. Because not only was Ruth's future at stake, so too was Naomi's, a widow whose two sons had died. A woman full of grief. What future did she have? What security did she have? Verse 19, and her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? She'd never seen anything like it. She'd seen a lot of gleaners come and go. She'd never seen anybody carrying this much grain. Notice what she said. Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. She still didn't know who Boaz was. But Naomi's getting ready to tell her. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, the man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. And Ruth the Moabitess said, he said unto me also, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. In other words, I can keep going day after day. I can keep going. I can keep going day after day. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. Look, in other words, here's what she's saying. Now that you have this favor, now that you have this access, now that you're gleaning in the field of grace, don't go anywhere else. Can I say this to you? There's no other place for us to go. When Jesus said to Peter and the disciples, will you also go away? Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. There's nowhere else to go. Hey, young person, there's nowhere else to go. There's nowhere else to go. Don't go to this world. Don't go to another field looking for satisfaction. You cannot find it. God has brought you into the field of his grace. Glean there. Look at verse 23. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest and dwelt with her mother-in-law. She stayed with it. She stayed in the field. She didn't leave like the prodigal son for the far country. What did he end up eating? The slop that the pigs ate. That's all that the world can offer you. The slop that the pigs eat. But God offers you his best. Someone has said God always gives his best to those who leave the choice to him. I want to encourage you tonight, leave the choice to him. Glean in the fields of God's grace. You see, Ruth went in faith to the fields of grace, and she obtained a good report. Hebrews chapter 11 says this, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Who is this damsel? Oh, that's Ruth. She's been really good to her mother-in-law, Naomi. You remember Naomi? Oh, yeah, she's one of my kinsmen. Well, Ruth stuck with her and taking care of her. And let me tell you, Boaz, she's been out in that field working from sun up. Working hard because she found out, according to God's word, she could glean in the field. So here she is. She's out gleaning. She's obtained a good report by faith. The Bible says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Boy, Ruth was going to get a reward that day, wasn't she? She went in faith to the fields of grace. And then Ruth took advantage of the access she was given. She took advantage of it. Some of you, you've been given unprecedented access. In fact, all of us have. But some of you don't take advantage of it. We worry and fret when we ought to be praying and resting in God. We complain when we ought to be praising. We gossip when we ought to be witnessing. We talk when we should pray. She took advantage of the access she was given. She responded with gratitude for the grace that was provided to her. She enjoyed the handfuls of purpose. And she kept fast in the field of grace.
Thank you for listening. We pray that God has used His Word to speak to you today. If you'd like to learn more about Tabernacle, you can visit us online at tabernaclebaptistchurch.com. There, you'll find additional information about our church, opportunities to partner with us financially, as well as other resources that we hope can be a help to you. May God bless you, and thank you once again for listening.